The Mickey Mouse Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. And you know, I have thought about this many times. In your lifetime, in my lifetime, I probably pamper myself maybe 1% of my lifetime. And so when I do have that opportunity to pamper myself, well, if I need help, especially when it comes to vacations, then I'm going to turn to someone who has expertise, someone who really knows how to make the most out of my vacation dollar. So when you pamper yourself when you go on vacation, that's pampering, right? So why not let the vacation planners at MEI and Mouse Fan Travel pamper you with their expertise in planning all types of vacations? Honestly, you're not going to regret it. You should visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com and see what I mean when I say you're going to get pampered. And you can also get to them by clicking on their banner on the Mickey Miles Podcast homepage.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 92 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today. And with me on the show today is my co-host and running partner, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, how are you this fine day?
I'm great. I think it's really cool that three out of the four people, as far as I know, three out of the four people on this podcast today saw a space shuttle this weekend. You and I saw one, and one of our guests saw a different one. So I think that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Control yourself, Mike.
I know. It was it was really, really, really quite the experience. Do you have a shout out, Michelle?
I do. I have a shout out, and it is to Mark Stockton Hughes, and he is a fan on our Facebook page. And he's always sometimes we have technical difficulties on the show, and he kindly lets us know if something's up so we can fix it. So we really appreciate that, Mark. So thank you, and a shout out to you.
And Michelle, I think we're going to start this podcast off with some news.
Yeah, we have a little bit of news before we jump into our topic. The first is that we have our Mickey Miles podcast meet in Disneyland, which is appropriate for this podcast. It's going to be on Saturday, August 31st at 2 p.m. Pacific time. And we already have, I'm so thrilled about this, we already have 48 people signed up, have RSVP'd to go. And I think that's really cool. So it's come and meet us, but also come and meet all the other people that, a lot of the people that hear on the show, maybe our two guests today will be there, and other listeners. So if you would like to join us, we're going to be at the Haagen-Dazs. And again, that's on August 31st at 2 p.m. And you can RSVP on our Facebook page. I'm sorry, I said 2 p.m. It is 3 p.m. Let me say that again. It's August 31st at 3 p.m. 3 p.m., 3 p.m. So it must have been the time difference.
2 p.m. Hawaii time.
We got to give you a map. I have another announcement I wanted to make, which is we have a blog on our Mickey Miles podcast page, and a number of people have been adding to the blog recently. We have blogs by our buddy Eddie McCoy, who talked about Hoka One Ones. We have a blog by Chris Trawick, a really interesting blog about using electrolytes when you're running. And our most recent blog is by Amanda North, who talks about using the benefits of using and sticking to a training program. So I wanted to point that out to people because those are really interesting, and they're blogs about running and about Disney. But, Mike, before we go on, I have one more exciting announcement. We didn't have this in our notes, but this is important. I know. Our announcement is that one of our guests here on the show, who we'll introduce in a second, Chris Eliopoulos, is an artist, a very well-known artist, and he has created a graphic, maybe you can tell us a little bit more about it, that kind of talks about the Grim Sweeper. So it says, don't fear the Grim Sweeper, and he has agreed, he's generously agreed, we're going to put the graphic on a shirt and put it in our Mickey Miles Cafe Press store, and all of the proceeds are going to benefit the victims of the Boston Marathon bombing at One Fun Boston. So that shirt will be up very soon, and we thank Chris a lot, and I think it's really exciting. I'm going to be putting the page up, and then I'll be the first person to order a shirt because they're very, very cool. So, all right.
So with that, I guess it's time to introduce our guests, and then after I do the introductions, we'll talk about what we're going to talk about. So without further ado, let's see. Who should I introduce first? Well, why don't I introduce our friend and fellow runner, Chris Aliopoulos. Chris, welcome to the show. And from me, thank you very much for the generosity and helping out those who suffered the tragedy of the Boston Marathon this year. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Thanks. I'm glad to be back.
And Chris will be. Chris will be.
And Chris is falling asleep after a long day.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris will be participating in the Dumbo Dare weekend at Disneyland. And also joining us is old pal and big-time Disneyland aficionado and a veteran, Mike Paxton. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back on, guys.
Actually, what we say on WDW Today is, hiya, Mike. Okay, so let's talk about today's topic. So we brought Mike on and Chris on because we wanted to do a preview of the Disneyland. Let's see if I get this right. Disneyland Dumbo Double Dare Weekend. Thank you, guys. Thank you. And Mike has done the race, the half marathon, several times. Michelle and I have done it once, and Chris has not. So we thought that the combined four of us discussing this would help those of you who are coming out to Disneyland and doing these races for the very, very first time. So basically what we're saying is our audience is first timers for these Disneyland races. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over the weekend. We're going to talk about the courses. We're going to talk about things that we feel you should know. And what we hope to do is during the course of the discussion, fill any gaps that may be out there for those of you who are going for the first time. We want Chris to ask us questions that he may have. We want Mike to provide information. Michelle and I will also fill in the gap. So with that.
But Mike, I want to jump in just before you continue to say there are some new things for people who have done it before. There's some different information and some things that have changed a little bit. So even if you have run it before, you may want to listen up.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off and go over the events of the weekend. The weekend is August 30th through September 1st, and all the events are sold out. So if you are not in, you're not in. So let's talk first, guys, about the Health and Fitness Expo. That's on the 30th and the 31st. And let's see. Mike, why don't you start off? If you were going to describe to people coming out for the first time what the Health and Fitness Expo entails and what happens and what you could do there, how would you start that off?
And maybe how it's different from Disney World's Health and Fitness Expo too.
Yes.
Sure, absolutely. So the Health and Fitness Expo, it takes place at the Disneyland Hotel, so it's really close to all the theme parks, which is actually really convenient. You can pretty much walk if you're staying on Harbor Boulevard, or if you're going to the theme parks for the day, you can sort of walk over there, and it starts on Friday morning. I think what most people go there for is they go there for packet pickup, as they're going there to pick up their packets for the races for the rest of the weekend. In addition to that, there's some great speakers this year that they'll have. They have basically half of the stadium floor, you know, that they do this in, that's sort of dedicated to just speakers, and the other half is sort of dedicated to expo booths. There's shopping, just like at Walt Disney World. Probably, I would say it's a little bit smaller than Marathon Weekend, wouldn't you say?
Definitely, yeah. Definitely.
Merchandise, same thing, not quite as much. It seems like they maybe don't get quite as much merchandise out there. They do seem to have a lot of coast-to-coast merchandise usually at this race. A lot of people are finishing their coast-to-coast medals at this race. And so it's a great time to just sort of like run over there, grab your packet. And it seems also, compared to Disney World, it's a little less frantic than for packet pickup. It doesn't seem like the lines are quite as large. Maybe because Marathon Weekend has so many people coming for so many different races.
I would agree. I think that was a great description.
Yeah.
And you sort of start off, and they're going to sort of usually funnel you into the basement of you'll go down this sort of ramp, you'll follow these signs, you'll go into the basement, and it sort of looks like a parking garage or something like that is where they do the packet pickup. And then you go upstairs, and that's where the rest of the expo is, where all the vendors are, the speaker series is, and all the merchandise is.
So one of the things about that is that area seems a little smaller and a little bit more frantic, but I think – would you agree with that, Mike?
Yes, I agree.
And it's definitely – if you go down the first time, if this is your first expo going down there, don't think anything of it, because it really does sort of look like a parking garage. The first time I went down there, I'm like, really? Like, this is where we're picking up our packets? But you're in and out of there pretty quickly. You know, you get your packet, and then you go upstairs, and it's a much nicer ballroom that you're sort of in.
I think there are some – I mean, there's a lot of the same stuff that you'd see at those expos, but there are some people, I think, who just do the West Coast thing. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, they have a list of the vendors on the expo map. If you're curious, if you sort of want to plan maybe like which ones you want to stop by, definitely look through the race brochure and take a look there. I think Skirt Sports, which is a Boulder company here that I know, they've been out at the expo before. I'm not sure if they're back again this year. But you can basically look through all the vendors that are supposed to be there.
Cool. And I wanted to pick up on one more thing before we move on, because I think Mike said the word of the day for Disneyland, which is you can walk there. I mean, the word of the day really is close. Everything is close, which is why it's kind of a cool experience. You can walk to the expo. You can walk to the race start. So it makes it nice.
I want to turn to Chris. And Chris, you've been to the Walt Disney World Marathon several times, and you've seen what that expo is all about. Is there anything you were wondering about the expo out in California?
You know, it's funny. I was just thinking, because the one in Disney World, you know, you go – they shuttle you by a bus. Do they have a lot of signage when you're there? Like, do they kind of tell you where to go, like coming out of a hotel, like which direction and things like that?
Because, yeah.
You know – Being new, I mean, look, as a kid, I went to Disneyland every year, but I haven't been there in, I want to say, 20 years at least. Is there signage are there cast members ready to show you the way?
I think with all the people that show up, there's no way they can get away without signage. There will be people directing. They have a lot of cast members on duty, making sure that the lines move from wherever to wherever. The only issue that I had 2 years ago was that I wasn't that impressed with the packet pickup area. It seemed like they were crossing the streams. So I'm hoping that won't
be an
issue.
Because it was so small, you mean, Mike?
It was small and compact, and there were people who were doing waivers while the people in line. I remember we were standing in line. There were people going one way, and there were people going another way. And I think it had a lot to do with that particular part of the pickup was we were doing our
coast to coast,
and so there was an issue there. So I'm hoping that won't be an issue. And what that just tells me is that I'm going to try to be there, you know, within the first hour to get things out of the way. And that's the best advice we could give everyone.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just going to say it might be even a little messier now that we're talking about three separate different runs.
I think you're right, Chris. Yeah.
But I agree with Mike Paxton that it did go quickly, even though the lines were kind of – are you in this line? Are you in that line? We got out of there pretty quickly. I wanted to pick up on what Chris said about signage too, that to me it wasn't all that clear where the expo was. I think we kind of wandered around. But if you're facing the Disneyland Hotel with, you know, the front door in front of you, the conference center is to your right, so you're just going to move to your right. Just watch everybody walking over there. Hmm. You really can't get lost, because everything's so close, and you could just ask somebody, but that's where it is. But I agree with Mike Paxton. It's like you're going down into a garage. It's like you're going down a ramp into a garage, so it's kind of like, wow, is this where it is?
And the interesting thing is looking at the map of where the pickup stuff is, so there's just to understand, if you're doing the double Dumbo Dare, you're going to have a separate pickup. than if you're doing the 10K or the half. So just make sure you don't think you have to go in the 10K line and the half line. Just go into the double air line.
Excellent point. Thank you.
And 5K and kids, same sort of thing. The waiver printing is sort of in the middle of that area. Maybe I think that's what I remember from last year. And I think that's why it was a little confusing, is they had sort of a set of computers and printers in the middle of the room with all the pickups on the side. And that might have been why it seemed a little confusing compared to Walt Disney World, where it's in another area.
So as Mike always says, print your waiver ahead of time, right?
Yes.
You don't want to be stuck in those lines at the computers. Bring it with you.
The okay. other neat thing is, because it's at the Disneyland Hotel, after you're done, you know, checking in and getting your packet pickup and shopping at the expo, Trader Sam's, a great little hangout at Disneyland Hotel, is right upstairs. I recommend everyone to go over there and sort of hang out and have a nice fruity drink and relax a bit, maybe take a little load off their feet before the race the next day.
I've never been there. I can't wait to do that. I'll see you there, Mike.
Absolutely.
And we know we'll see Chris there too.
The only advice I want to give to people when we were there, Michelle, I don't know if you remember, but there were great deals on running shoes. It was far better there than in Orlando. And I'm going to make sure that I have a little room in my luggage for an extra pair of running shoes that I may want to purchase. I thought that the deals were very, very good there. So just want to give that a little bit of advice to everyone. So let's move on to Saturday is when everything really, really starts. And there are two things happening on Saturday. There are three things happening on Saturday. At 5:30, there will be the 5K, which begins at 5:30. And Michelle, why don't you give everyone an idea of that course, because I know you ran it. And
okay. Yes, I can. Mm-hmm. So there, if you look on the Run Disney website, there's actually a map that gives you the 5K course. And the 5K and the 10K both start off at the same place. It starts off just outside the park, and you're going to go through California Adventure, looks like. Mike Paxton, correctly if I'm wrong.
Nope, absolutely. Go backstage for a little bit first.
Yep, go backstage, then into California Adventure. It looks like you're not quite going into Cars Land, but near it. And then you'll run through, run by where they have World of Color just briefly. And then you're going to be running through California Adventure and into Disneyland. And you're going to run around up Main Street, USA, not kind of, you definitely are. And you're going to run around kind of counterclockwise through the park and then outside of the park again for a finish very near the start line. So that is one of the things I remember about that race. I'm not running it this year, but I really, really enjoyed it. Packed with characters. Really, you know, it just seemed like a very friendly, everybody was having a great time, not frantic race. I noticed in Disneyland that the pavement, of course, probably wasn't meant for people to be running on it, but there seemed to be some, you know, bumps along the way in the pavement, so you just have to be careful. But my advice is go and have a blast. It's not timed. Have a great time. So anybody else have anything to add about the 5K?
Oh, just to remind everyone that will start sharply at 5:30 in the morning, because there's something happening in about 45 minutes after that start.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the main concern that I have going into this weekend, if there's any concern at all. You know, Disney does such a great job, but like you said, 45 minutes later, the 10K is going to start, and we'll talk about that in a second, but they're going to have a sort of an organizational, you know, issue to sort of deal with trying to finish up the 5Kers and get the 10Kers started, I think.
Now, I'm wondering, because, you know, the corral system for the 5K has changed in Walt Disney World, where it has been changed to when you sign up for it. And then with the 10K at Disneyland, you definitely have a certain corral, and they've been assigned and they're on the website. So I'm wondering if the start is in the exact same place. I'm wondering how they're going to turn that over, or, you know, if it's going to be parallel to it. I'm really curious.
My guess, Michelle, is that first off, I think that they probably really limited the number of participants so that they would not have to do corral releases like they do in Orlando, where wow, the 5K in January probably took an hour to get everybody gone. And like Mike said, we've got something happening at 6:15. So my thought is that everybody's going to be released at once.
What do you mean released?
I believe that instead of having a corral release, like corral A, corral B, corral C, I'm only guessing. I don't know. My guess is that every, you know, one, two, three, you know, have a nice run, and everybody's going at the same time.
So here's my other question, too. I'm really curious. We do know a few people who are running both the 5 and the 10K. So they need to run the 5K, get back to the finish, where, you know, it's the finish is close to the start, and then pop into their corral for that and then go again. Mike or Chris, are you either one of you doing both of those races?
No.
Neither. I considered it, but no, I'm want to actually run the 10K with some good effort, and I don't want to tire myself out with the 5K first.
Okay, no, we're not doing it either. So,
okay, let's move on to the 10K. And as Mike said earlier, the 10K is also on that Saturday, the 31st, and that is scheduled to begin to start at 6:15, which is 45 minutes after the start of the 5K. And the 10K is a brand new race, and as far as we know, it will be an interesting course. And it's one of those. It's a course in which they wanted to showcase Cars Land at Disney's California Adventure. So the course will go through Disney California Adventure and California Adventure Park, and then it will go through Disneyland Park, and then it will go out to the streets of Anaheim, and eventually back to the finish line. Does anybody have any thoughts on it?
It doesn't look like it goes through Cars Land too much, Mike. I don't know. Maybe,
but it does go through, and Run Disney is promoting it that way, so that's why I believe it's going to go into the California Adventure first.
Yeah, yes. It looks like it comes right in, and you'll go down that sort of Route 66 area. You'll take a left at the end of it, and I think you'll go over by Paradise Bay, and you'll sort of circle around the World of Color area is what it looks like. So I think you'll still run down that sort of Route 66 area, but I think you might come in it a little late. I can't quite tell from the photo here. I'm looking at Google Earth trying to figure out exactly where it's going.
One of the things that I notice about both of these races, though, is that there's a lot of time spent in the parks, which I think is really neat. And they made an effort not to make them identical. So if you are running the 5K and then the 10K, there's going to be parts that are exactly the same, but there are parts where you're running in different races. And so, you know, they do such a nice job herding people through the different routes. They're going to have to turn that around really quickly from the 5K to the 10K too within the park. So that'll be interesting. They're really going to – it's going to have to be choreographed like a space shuttle launch.
Woohoo! Yeah, I want to
looking here, I didn't realize it. So the 10K, you'll go through the castle.
Go through the castle,
5K does not go through the castle. So just so you know, just to plan on that.
Yeah, it looks like you're going around the castle for the 5K.
Right, yeah.
I want to mention to Chris. So, Chris, when we did this, we did the half marathon 2 years ago. I noticed this, and Mike, I'd love to hear your comments on this. I mean, you are definitely made aware that when the Disneyland theme park was built, there was no thought ever that 50 years from the time they built it, there would be a race, and it is really. An awakening that I don't know if I'm going to be able to do a 10K. I'm just going to enjoy myself. So Mike, has that ever crossed your mind? Like the first time you ran
Main Street, especially, you go down Main Street and you know they have those little curbs, and it's not the same. It's pretty narrow, and so to think about running through here, it's very intimate. It's a little bit harder. There are definitely bottlenecks at parts. But it's really special. In fact, I think running through the theme parks here is more special than running through it at the Magic Kingdom. Coming around Paradise Bay, where they have World of Color, last year was amazing what they did. And I don't want to spoil it because I don't know if they're going to do it again this year or not. But if you've seen World of Color and then you run through there, it was pretty awesome.
Now, Chris, are you going to be running the 10K with the idea that you're doing it quickly? You're going to stop and take pictures since it's your first Disneyland race?
I don't know. You know what? I don't know. I think we're just going to take it easy. I think, we're already trained beyond this at this point. So my feeling is you had to just really enjoy it. My question actually was more about, since we were talking about the intimacy of the parks, I know when we were doing the Disney World Marathon, there were parts where four people abreast, and that was the width of the road. Is this very similar in Disneyland when you're running through there?
It depends on the part. I think when you're especially when you're running through Disneyland, to me, it's, as Mike Paxton said, it can be really narrow. But when you're off property, it opens up a little bit.
Right, right.
Yeah, and that's exactly how I felt. Is there are some narrow parts in the parks, but later on, once we start talking about the half course, it really does open up. I don't think it's too bad. It is less people than in general. They're going to have less people in the course than they do for the half for the 10K. So, you know, maybe it's not going to be too bad for the 5K and 10K. That's my hope.
Yeah, because, I mean, like we talked about this on a previous show about the horrors of no one listening about not going like four abreast and walking. And you wonder with the 5K going ahead of time, will there be people like kind of strolling along as you're trying to come through the parks on more narrow streets and then like what you said, like I guess it's a concrete that wasn't really meant for running. So it's going to be even more difficult.
Right.
We'll definitely have you guys on afterwards so we can talk about what you thought after it goes.
Yeah, California Adventure seemed better than Disneyland. I mean, going through California Adventure, I think they knew that the paths had to be a little bit wider.
Yes.
They had sort of figured that out. So.
I think you're right, Mike.
I agree with that. Now, Mike Scopa, the kids' races are in a place that I didn't expect when we looked at the final race instructions.
Yeah,
I'm wondering how that's going to go. Maybe Mike Paxton, have you seen the kids' races?
We saw them a little bit last year. We were walking past, I think, going to breakfast when they were going on or something like that. We were walking through downtown Disney. They have a fairly wide open courtyard, I think, over by the ESPN Club restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and they have a stage set up, and they set up the kids' races out in front of that stage, sort of the baby crawls and all of those that they do, and they were doing them through there, and it seemed like there had a lot of people that would just sort of stop and watch a little bit. I think we saw when they were just finishing up, though.
So, that's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what that's like. Chris, are your kids doing any of the kids' races? They probably could do the 10K at this point.
Well, I'm laughing because I'm thinking to myself, we'll probably be back in the hotel on both races before they even wake up. So we assumed the 10K that they would not even be awake by the time we got back. And then with a half, we were like, you're going to come and see us, right? And they're like, yeah, sure. So I'm, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
That Saturday is a very busy day because you've got the three races. And then that night is the Pasta in the Park party on the night of the 31st.
Say that three times fast.
Yeah, say that three times fast. And what's interesting about that is that as we're preparing the show, that we were reminded that there are waivers for the Pasta in the Park party, which is kind of interesting. So,
what do you mean waivers, Mike?
Well, I know that on the final instructions, there is a area that says, "Don't forget that to bring your waivers, your waist waivers."
Oh, right.
Pasta in the Park waivers and cheer squad waivers. So this is obviously there's a liability issue that the Walt Disney Company and Run Disney brand wants to make sure they're covered. So
what that means is just like if when you're running a race, you have to print out your race waiver to get your race packet. Now you have to have a waiver for the pasta party and to be on the cheer squad. I don't ever remember that happening. Does anybody here remember?
No,
I don't remember.
Yeah, so I think that's really important for people to remember because you know, I think a lot of people are going to be stuck at the computers trying to print theirs out. So if you're going to that party or you have somebody who's cheering, have them print out a waiver. Mike, this might be a good time before we go on to talk about the other big change that we noticed about waivers. And maybe I can talk about it because I've done this before.
I was wondering, Michelle, do you think we should do that as our final instructions after we cover the half marathon, just so that it will be the last thing people our listeners here.
Sure.
Okay, just a thought. So let's get on to the half marathon because I want to make sure that we cover that. I want to make sure that if there are any questions, see, Chris is representing everybody in the world who is going there for the first time. So I don't want to put any pressure on Chris. Mike, I'm going to let you run us through the half marathon course because you've done it more than the rest of us. So can you give everybody an idea of what that course entails?
Absolutely. So you start off, and the first basically mile. Almost 2 miles, you run down Disneyland Drive and you come down Catala, and you're sort of outside the parks. And then you come into the parks over on Harbor Boulevard, and you run backstage for a bit back behind California Adventure. And you'll come in, I think, over by Paradise Pier, the Paradise Pier area, and you get to run around the World of Color area and run by Cars Land. And again, that's the really special part. Once you're done with that, you go up and you come into Disneyland. You run sort of a different direction. Normally, if you run the Walt Disney World Half Marathon, you're sort of used to running up through Main Street, through Tomorrowland, and sort of that counterclockwise. Well, this is sort of a clockwise way. You'll run over by Big Thunder Ranch, and you'll run Railroad, and you'll run through the castle, through Tomorrowland, and then sort of out through Toontown and backstage that area. Right as you sort of exit the parks, and first of all, the first 4 miles in the parks is awesome.
There's lots of characters,
so much entertainment. But just understand that most, you know, all the characters, that's when you're going to see them. Once you get outside the parks, they're pretty much no characters at all.
Right.
They do have entertainment. They have local groups and entertainment groups and mariachi bands and different things like that, cheerleading squads. But they don't have any other Disney characters really until I think there might have been one character stop at the very, very end, that last mile, but I can't remember. And so mile four, you come out and you're basically on the streets of Anaheim. And you go over the overpass and you're going over I-5, and this is right after mile four. And one thing I'd like to tell people, recommend to people, is bring sunglasses. The first year that I did this, it started out in the dark. And I didn't have sunglasses. And you go over that overpass, and the sun is rising, and you're staring straight into it for about 4 miles.
Oh, good tip.
So grab those sunglasses, stick them on your belt if you don't want to wear them. I think you will appreciate it when you're going over that overpass, because you come over that hill, you've got about 4 miles then to go, where you're just running through the streets of Anaheim, and it's pretty wide open. It didn't feel very crowded at all, and you're sort of zigzagging back and forth. And just sort of get into a groove and just sort of enjoy the race at that time. Enjoy the people around you. Talk to the people around you. Right around mile eight, you'll go up around the Honda Center, and you'll basically get onto a little trail. And this trail sort of goes along. It's called the Santa Ana River Trail, and it's a dirt path that you'll be on for probably less than a mile. And you'll go past sort of this concrete river. It's sort of a strange, I don't know, thing to run next to.
It reminds me of the scene from Grease where they're having their drag race.
You do a film there.
Oh, really? That's why. Wow, that was good. I didn't like it, because I don't know what it is about me. Every time I run on gravel, I always get stuff in my shoes. So, but that was my least favorite part of this race. I love the rest of it.
And then mile nine, you hit Angel Stadium. You get to run around the infield of Angel Stadium, which is pretty amazing. And then sort of home stretch from there. You basically run west at that point, and you go backstage of California Adventures, and you end up the finish line once again at the Disneyland Hotel. So that sort of gives you a really quick overview.
That was awesome. That was great. I just want to highlight my favorite parts. I love running through Toontown. I thought running through Disneyland was great, and I loved running through Angel Stadium too. I thought that was neat. Do you think people are surprised by how much? Well, maybe we can ask Chris this. Are you surprised by how much you're running off Disney property, Chris?
Yeah, it was one of those things I mentioned to my wife. I said, you know, there's, unlike the Disney World, you're spending an awful lot of time outside in the streets. And I was like, it's almost like you've got a regular like homespun half marathon mixed in with a little park visit, as opposed to Disney World, which you were running through, you know, four separate parks and all the other different attractions. So it's going to be interesting. The dirt trail, I'm so tired of rocks and dirt. Does the baseball field, you're running through the warning track, is that correct?
Yes. Right. So there's more rocks and
dirt. Okay.
But you get to be on the Jumbotron. You go by and they have a camera on you, so you're on the Jumbotron. So it's,
and they fill it up with Boy Scouts, I think, to cheer. So there's lots of people cheering there.
Yeah. And I have to say, one of the things I found very charming, even though you are off Disney property, I don't know if Mike and Mike, you agree with this, but it seemed to me that there was an awful lot of community support. It wasn't just one or two groups that were out on the streets of Anaheim. It was a lot of groups. And like you were talking about the mariachi band, and I think I saw Hawaiian dancers, and everybody was it felt like
a high school
band. It felt like the people of Anaheim were there to cheer us on, and I think the runners who I was with, you know, just really got a kick out of it too, so it made it really
more so
nice.
than where they were trying to ship them in for Disney World, this felt like it was more of a community event that, you know, they didn't have to, I mean, they didn't necessarily bus everyone in. People came out, you know, of their, you know, and cheered from the street. And yeah, it was just, it was a good feeling, more like a hometown marathon a little bit.
Can I ask, since we're on the weather, it's August, it's California. How hot does it get? How
can I jump in here?
Go.
I'll talk about last year. The start of the race was cool. I was in a tank top and I was fine, but I was a little chilly waiting in the corrals, just a little bit. It warmed up pretty quickly once the sun came out. I would say that, you know, it is going to be pretty warm, but it's not nearly as humid as Florida, so it doesn't seem as bad. And it doesn't really warm up until about mile 4 or 5 for most of us when we're racing. So I think, you know, be prepared for it to be warm, drink lots of water, but don't expect the same type of heat that you might get in a marathon weekend down in Florida. It doesn't feel quite as bad.
I want to say 75. Like that was the temperature that I remember being. And I think the humidity, it was the key part of what you said, Mike, because it is much more comfortable than running in New Hampshire in August, and I would expect New Jersey or Florida in August, where it's very, very humid. It's very comfortable. So,
The other difference between Walt Disney World and here that I'd like to mention is this is on Pacific Coast time, which is a lot different for those of us traveling compared to going to East Coast time. Waking up is much, much easier. It's not nearly the drag.
Good point. You know,
when I wake up in for Florida, you know, for a 3 o'clock or whatnot, you know, that's 1 o'clock Colorado time. That's a huge shift for me. But most of us are gaining time, so we're waking up. It feels a lot better to us. So waking up in the morning isn't nearly as bad. Plus, you don't need to get to the corrals nearly as early. We didn't really touch about that on too much, but.
I mean, if you're staying on the Disney property, you could wake up, you know, what, an hour before the race and stroll over there and still make it? Hour and a half?
I think I got there at 5 o'clock is what I want to think about. I think I showed up at the corrals at 5 o'clock and walked straight into my corral.
And if you're staying in a good neighbor resort, you might be a mile away. So it's just really, really comfortable.
Hey, Mike, thank you for that very, very detailed. That brought back memories of when Michelle and I were there 2 years ago to do it. And it reminded me also one more thing to remind everyone that, again, these parks were not built – well, at least the Disneyland theme park was not built for a race. So if you're thinking about doing a half marathon PR, you know, you've got our best wishes, but don't – try to enjoy the race and try to enjoy the scenery and try to enjoy the experience, and don't be disappointed if you are falling short of your PR goals. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And I also wanted to, before we finish, go over the final instructions just to remind everyone who is going for the first time, being this could be their very first Run Disney event, to make sure that they understand what the final instructions will be. And you guys can jump in at any time as I go over these. Michelle, I'm going to turn to you first. You want to tell everybody how the bag check works?
The bag check. Actually, I don't remember very much about the bag check.
Actually, we didn't use the bag check.
That's why.
Yeah, did
you?
You'll get a clear plastic bag.
Same
thing as Disney World. You'll check it right there. And I think you retrieve it basically at the same place. The start and finish is at the same area. So I'm almost positive that you go in, you check your bag, and then you retrieve it at the same area.
But it's a good point, Mike. I don't think maybe as many people check their bags because the hotels are so close by, that you can just walk over. But
yeah, retrieving my bag, definitely I remember it took a little bit longer because I went and took a part of the free massages that they have on the West Coast usually. They get one of the schools of massage to do free massages there in the massage tent. And so I was waiting for my bag before I went and did that. And I remember that the line was a little bit longer than it is at Disney World, where you just walk up usually and get your bag really quick.
But I want to mention the thing that changed, Mike, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
So in the last two Walt Disney World races, Chris wasn't able to make it to the expo in time. So, Chris, remember what I was able to do for you?
Yeah, I gave you my waivers and my driver's license and sent you on your merry way to get me some
Bibs. Your bibs and everything. Well, that's changed. So I was looking over the final race instructions. So that's really important. If you are picking up a bib for somebody who can't be there, you need the waiver. You need a copy of the person's driver's license. And there's also an additional form that you need to fill out to give to – and unless you have all three, you're not going to be able to pick up that person's number. It's an agreement that you're picking up their bag, and that is in the final race instruction. So you have to have that piece of paper, the agreement to pick up the race packet, the waiver, and the license. All three have to be signed. So it's super, super important if you're picking up a number for somebody who's not going to be there.
Probably your own driver's license too, I would assume.
Yeah, I would. I don't remember them ever asking for my own driver's license, but make sure that you, before you leave your house, if you're picking up for somebody, that you get those three things.
And the only thing is that you should have a photo ID, because on the authorization form, waiver form, whatever, it says so and so is picking up, and so you have to prove that you're.
Yeah, I mean, you'll need it anyway for your own race waiver.
But, I mean, this is one of the reasons why we're doing this show 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks before the weekend, so that everyone understands and is ready to take care of all that stuff. So, Michelle, thank you for bringing that up. And the only other thing that everyone will be looking at, of course, when you go and take turn in your waivers and you pick up you will be picking up your corral and bib assignment. And that will tell you which corral you will be going into. And remember, you cannot go into a corral in front of your number or letter. So if you're a C or D, you cannot go in A and B. But if you're A and B, you can go in C and D. So we just want to just mention that for those who are going for the first time. So before we close out, Chris, Mike, Michelle, are there any other tidbits that you would like to add? Chris, do you have any questions you'd like to ask?
I do.
Pick me.
The one question I had, which is something I guess is sort of – you've done it before. I would assume Mike has done it before. This is my coast to coast. How would I go about getting medals and stuff like that? Is it presented at the end? Do they check your bib, or is it something you have to go and seek out?
So when you go and get your race waiver, there's another line for coast to coast. You go and they'll give you a bracelet, one of those annoying bracelets that you have to wear. You actually have to wear it until the next day. And when you finish the half marathon, you will go – there may be actually two bracelets because of the Dumbo Double Dare. But when you finish the half marathon, you get your wonderful – it's one of my favorite medals, the Disneyland Half Marathon Medal. And then there are going to be other people. You have to look for them. Last time I did it, they were kind of over to the right who there's a little tent area. You'll see people with the coast-to-coast, and you tell them that you got your coast-to-coast. They'll look at your bracelet, and they'll give you your coast-to-coast medal.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Yeah, but it is kind of a pain that you have to wear your bracelet.
Yeah, you have to wear that bracelet. But,
I do have one more quick thing to say just for people that maybe have run this before and are coming back to run it again. Last year they had about 15,000 people in the half. This year they have about 18,500. So they added about 3,500 more spots. So just be prepared that it might be a little bit more crowded than what you've seen in the past.
Right. Right. Well, I guess that wraps it up.
This episode of the Mickey Mouse Podcast has been brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel. And, you know, I wish I had the time to tell you the experiences that have been told to me on how the MEI and Mouse Fan Travel vacation planners have gone to great lengths to ensure that their clients have a great vacation. If there are any problems that come up, they are quick to take care of them, and they just know how to do things right. I'd love to tell you those stories. I just don't have enough time. And you just have to trust me that when you book with MEI or Mouse Fan Travel, you're in capable and caring hands. And I'll tell you, that's a promise. You'll really never know unless you give them a try. So the first step is, of course, going to their page at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. And, of course, you can always get to them by clicking on their banner on the Mickey Miles Podcast site. So why don't you do that? Take that first step.
I want to thank Mike Paxton. Thank you for coming on, Mike, and giving us those gems of information.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me. This is great.
And Chris, buddy, we'll thank you for coming on and asking the questions that I know I forgot to ask. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. We'll see you there.
Can't wait to see you both.
Woohoo! So far, Chris Haleopoulos, and for Michael Paxton, and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa, and we'll see you on the road in California.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.